Hello, I'm Jonathan Mast, and welcome to this edition of the Sedgwick Podcast. My guest today is Brian Bass, SVP of Workforce Absence Solutions for Sedgwick. Brian, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Jonathan, for having me.
Brian, we're talking today about state PFML programs and briefing benefits and the challenges for employers. So I guess maybe the first thing, though I'm sure a lot of our listeners may know, can you define what a PFML is for those that don't?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. So PFML is yet a new acronym that has been introduced in the disability and absence management industry. And essentially, it stands for paid family and medical leave. So we might be familiar with FMLA, which is the Family Medical Leave Act. And, you know, under the federal entitlement, that's an unpaid benefit to employees. But what it does provide employees with is benefits as well as job protection for FMLA-qualified reasons. What we're seeing is there's a proliferation among the states introducing a paid component or a benefit component associated with wage replacement for individuals that have qualifying reasons under the state's paid family and medical leave requirements, which are somewhat similar to the federal FMLA, but there are differences, and most of the time those differences are comprised of the relationship for whom the employee can take time off to care for an individual. So, for example, at the federal level, while you're not allowed to take time off to care for a grandparent unless that grandparent stood in loco parentis or was your parent who raised you when you were under 18, it's not covered under the federal level, but many states do include grandparents, grandchildren, siblings, those that you have a close family-like relationship, and those that are maybe related by blood. So that really opens up the family members that you may be qualified to take leave for in these various state paid family and medical leave.
Well, on that note, what would be the biggest challenge? You mentioned federal and state, and we know there are definitely differences. So what's the biggest challenge facing an employer to kind of navigate that when you've got two different levels that you have to try to understand?
Well, you know, that's the complexity that's been added here. You know, there's eligibility requirements that differ as well. So while I spoke a little bit about the relationship coverage, what is significantly different in many cases is qualification or eligibility under the federal FMLA versus the state PFML. And so to give you an example, at the federal level, an employee is typically or is eligible after for family medical leave after they've worked with an employer at least 12 months and they've worked 1,250 hours in the 12 months immediately preceding the first date of their absence. In other states, those vary significantly depending on the particular depending on the requirements that have been outlined in the law. For example, in New York, you need to have worked at least 26 consecutive weeks and work at least 20 hours per week during those 26 consecutive weeks in order to be eligible for the New York paid family leave. In addition to, you must be contributing or making contributions to the New York paid family leave from your paycheck or it's being paid for by your employer. So as you can see, those nuances add a little bit of complexity, maybe a lot of complexity, to employers that are trying to self-administer their paid family leave, their state job-protected leaves like FMLA and the FMLA altogether. Another complexity that's entering the realm is New York, for example, did not have a state-like family and medical leave prior to the New York paid family leave being introduced. So along with the benefit, receiving benefit for the paid family leave being provided to employees and workers in New York, it also provides employees with job and benefits protection, similar to what the federal FMLA provides, but it's at the New York level. And again, because those eligibility requirements are different, you might be covered under New York and not covered under the federal FMLA, and vice versa. So those things need to be taken into consideration and understood. Even with that, not all of these paid family and medical leaves are created equally. For example, in Massachusetts is introducing or has introduced their paid family and medical leave. It's not going to be effective in terms of receiving benefits or paying benefits to employees until January 1st of 2021. But Massachusetts already has a state-like family and medical leave that they've had in effect for many years that provides very similar benefit, many similar entitlements that the federal level does. But now that they're introducing this benefit to provide the wage replacement, in Massachusetts, the fact that you're receiving the benefit and the wage replacement doesn't necessarily mean you're job protected. You still have to meet the requirements of the Massachusetts Family Medical Leave and or the federal FMLA in order to receive job and benefits protection. So it's quite interesting as we see these new laws being introduced and as we're implementing them to understand all those nuances, because employers do have a requirement to communicate to employees what their entitlements are, how they're running. If they're not eligible for one or more, you have to explain why they're not eligible for one or more. And that's very complex. It makes it very difficult to explain in simple terms all of these things and entitlements that might be running concurrently.
So certainly that is a lot to digest for an employer. Are there other considerations? Is there a resource, a clearinghouse? What could employers do to have a better grasp on this, Brian? And you mentioned a couple of states. Is that all the states right now that there's activity going in on, or is there others that we should know about?
There's not. There are several others. I spoke of Massachusetts, who has not yet implemented the paid family and medical leave. New York has been effective now for over a year. That came into play January 1st of 2018. Washington State is in the final rulemaking process now regarding their regulations and how the program is expected to be administered, and that is effective on January 1st of 2020. We also have some changes that just came along in New Jersey. New Jersey's had a family leave insurance program for a number of years, similar to California, and New Jersey is enhancing that benefit by increasing the amount of benefit an employee is entitled to, as well as the amount of time that they're entitled to take off and receive that benefit as part of their family leave insurance. And then additionally, the Washington, D.C. has introduced also a paid family leave, which is a state-run program similar to what we see for the statutory programs in Rhode Island, where all employees are going to be required to apply with the district for that benefit, and that is effective July 1st of 2020. Luckily, the Washington, D.C. component does not provide job protection, because D.C. has had its own FMLA-like job protection, benefits protection program, so it makes it a little bit easier for employers to be able to continue to run those separately and make those decisions separately. But those are the major states right now that have something that's been passed into law and is either implemented or is currently in the implementation phase. Additionally, we continue to see a significant amount of movement at the state level regarding paid family and medical leave and paid sick leave and many other types of benefit components that are related to leave that the employee can take to take care of themselves or a family member. And it, since the beginning of this year, there have been more than 80 bills that have been introduced across the various states with these type of entitlements. So we anticipate that there's going to continue to be strong movement in this area. We're going to continue to see proliferation and enactment of paid family and medical leave across the state level. It wouldn't surprise me if we see four or five or maybe six additional states, like Colorado, for example, New Hampshire and Vermont are looking at a dual system where workers in those two states would be all part of one fund. It's just a common thing that we're seeing. So we're going to see some additional action and some additional enactment. And hopefully there's not going to be a mad rush by these states to try and implement the programs quickly, because it, just getting through their rulemaking process and allowing employers and third-party administrators and carriers in the industry to provide feedback in that process takes upwards of 8 months to a year. And both Massachusetts and Washington, I think, have done a very good job of going through their rulemaking process and outlining the requirements and going through various phases to ask employers and industry suppliers for their feedback to help ensure that the rules make sense and that we're trying to weed out all those gaps, et cetera. Going back to your initial comment around the clearinghouse, I'll be the first to say that I certainly wish there was a clearinghouse somewhere where all of this information was put together for us in a fashion that's easy to understand and digest, but unfortunately, there just isn't a nice repository that I've found that has that level of information that most of us seek. That said, there are industry organizations such as DMEC, which is the Disability Management Employer Coalition, and they provide their members with education and resources. And they do have information out there and available on the various paid family and medical leaves and this movement. And it is provided to their membership. They provide bulletins and that type of information to their members as well. SHRM, S-H-R-M, which is the Society for Human Resource Management, also has a site for their members that provides some information. And then, of course, each of the states, as they enact the law, have been standing up their own web portals and websites that have a resources of information, including draft regulations, final regulations, forms, notices, FAQs, and such. And New York's done a really good job, for example, of putting videos and other presentation material out on their site. So it's really a mishmash of information that's out there. Sedgwick, on a monthly basis, provides legislative updates on this movement and anything related to leave and disability management. And that's available to our customers, and it's available to anyone who goes out to our website and looks at our news feed and searches for leave updates. In addition, we are also providing updates to our customers for whom we're administering programs about the things that we're doing within Sedgwick to be prepared to provide administrative services if our clients so desire for these state FMLA programs, and helping them by providing them with guidance and consultation through the process.
Well, and that leads me to, as we close out, a lot of great information. We do have a lot of bench strength and great experts here at Sedgwick and are there to help our clients and others. So if someone wanted to reach out to you, Brian, or someone on your team, is there a particular place or direction they should go to get more information?
Yeah, if you are a current client with Sedgwick, I encourage you to speak with your client services representative. Many times our client service representatives, they are also receiving education internally from my team and myself as we go through these, and they're able to answer a majority of questions. If they're not, they know how to direct that to my team, and we will be able to assist at that point. Secondarily, if you're not a client and you're interested in learning more about the services that we provide, or you just have a question, you're more than welcome to send that information to me. My email address is widely distributed out there on the internet, but I will tell you what it is here in the podcast, and it's Brian, and my name is spelled a little differently. It's Bryon.Bass, Bass, at Sedgwick.com. And we will ensure that we get your questions answered or direct you in the right manner.
Brian, thank you so much for your time today, and very informative, and we will look forward to seeing all the developments that continue on in 2019 and probably do another one of these on down the road to get the latest information.
Sounds good. Thank you.